everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick and Rob, your hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality, dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics old and new, talking about what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU, DCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. Really helps the show, and you won't miss us. So, Rob, what's going on, man? Another week down. A lot of cool stuff to talk about. This episode, I really want to dig deep into some things I know you're passionate about. So I think this is going to be an interesting one for you here.
Yeah, man.
Spotlight's on you.
Spotlight's on me. Well, as we know, there was a Venom and Carnage crossover announced, and I'm all about symbiotes. I actually nearly picked up an issue of that Damage Control series that was out earlier in the year because they said, I was like, right, I need to check a preview of this. I gave a scan through my local comic book store, and it was just some dude making up a story as to why he missed his lunch break because a symbiote possessed him. I need to research before I'm like, pull.
Yep, you had to check yourself.
I'm glad I didn't. I checked it. Yeah, I checked it before I wrecked it. So, yeah, It happens. This one is exciting, though, because Carnage, I know, look, we'll call it a spade. Death of Venomverse ended like a Lord of the Rings thing, and you're like, what is happening? Then they relaunched Carnage. They kind of made it go on an interesting path because Carnage now wants to become a god. And then his side quest was, I'm going to kill all the Venoms. But then he got, enamored of being a god. Goes to the library. What the hell is it called? The Omnipotent Library or something? We saw it in Infinity Wars. He's butchering these lads left, right, and center. And the main guy goes, oh, well, if you're a god, who worships you? And to me, I'm like, that was the best panic question I've ever heard. Like, oh my god, what can I say? And Carnage is like, okay, you know what? Let me get back to you.
Because no one worships him.
Exactly. So now Carnage, the symbiote and not Cletus, is like trying to build up his following, have a god and his followers.
Right.
And he's on his way now to finally encounter Venom because they haven't seen each other since.
So let me take a step back here. Because for those who are listening and haven't read Death of the Venomverse, it came out this past summer. It wasn't really that good of an event. But basically the premise was that Carnage is amassing all of the powers he can of other Venoms in the multiverse to take on our Venom, Eddie Brock 616 Venom. So that's who's the king in black, if you will. So it seems like they're going to come to a head here, right? Is that what the solicit is saying? Yeah, is that we're going to see?
Because I think Venom, Carnage ends up in the symbiote garden, the time garden, he meets Meridius.
Yeah.
Look, who knows? I really hope this ends with the death of Dylan Brock. I don't care. Donnie Cates' Venom, for me, personally, allowed Venom to stand. He can stand on his own without Spider-Man. Completely he doesn't agree. Need Spider-Man. He gave Venom a
he's
link
transcended
to
that.
Exactly. He has his lore, his gods, mythology, all of this stuff. Fine. And then he's like, oh, we're going to wrap it up with the best thing ever. Nobody's going to see this coming. And you give a teenager Venom, but he has chains on his wrists.
I know.
That's your big payoff. Yeah, and it's I don't care about Dylan Brock. I want to see Eddie.
I liked him in Donnie Cates' run, though. I thought he was great because he was a little kid.
But he wasn't Venom.
Yeah, true. Yeah, he was an abused little kid. That was the best part about him, right?
Yeah,
because you invest in that character. You're like, damn, I'm with you, man. My thoughts on the crossover, I don't know. I'm kind of excited about it. Venom has been like a little lackluster for me as a whole. All in all, with the series, I would give it like a 2.5 out of 5 stars. Honestly, I would go that low. Travel, this and that, and it's like, God, I don't know.
It's developing a habit of when you're into one storyline, then it stops and it picks up the other one. And then in an issue or two, you're just like, you know what? You had me with the time travel thing. Now, they gave Black Widow a symbiote.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's...
Which worked. I thought it worked, though.
At least it was easy to follow. Because it's even a case, what do you do with Natasha? She's been around long. Like, give her a power set, because I don't care what anyone says. It's like Batman versus Darkseid. Batman should never be able to beat Darkseid. Black Widow does not have the power set. Just like Shang-Chi doesn't, Spider-Woman doesn't, to be on the Avengers. You don't. Hawkeye doesn't. Hawkeye should not be on the Avengers. At the end of the day, and he admitted it himself, he's a dude with arrows against gods.
Yeah.
And monsters. Yeah. So anybody who's like, oh, you're disrespecting the character, it doesn't change the character. They're just giving her more powers. So we'll see where that goes.
I think it works. I think it works for her. I do. When I saw that, I was like, okay, another one here. But I mean, look, talking about, you know, kind of breaking the script here, if you will. I mean, we saw an Ultimate Spider-Man number one. That was like the most, I know you read that. It came out a little bit ago, but that was the most like Elseworld Spider-Man origin story I've ever read. And I honestly liked it because it was just a new look at the character that we've seen and I think we might have needed for a bit. And it seemed to stick the landing for everybody. So when you talk about like switching things up, I think that book was perfect for that type of thing. I know you're not reading most of the Ultimate comics. I'm not probably either, but I'm definitely going to continue this one.
I respect the Ultimate Universe in the fact that like it, that's how you can truly break the mold, because you're not like, let's say we are both love our continuity, but it's also a hindrance to people trying to pick up a comic book or where people want to go with a character. But what made the Ultimate Verse so successful initially was that it was started from scratch.
Exactly.
And then of course it went the way that it went, a bit like, okay, this is a mess. Secret Wars. And this is the thing too, because, you know, just when you're thinking back or like trying to complete runs and stuff, I picked up the Inhumans tie into Secret Wars and all recently, and every event has a reason for happening. And the biggest reason for Secret Wars was to end the Ultimate Universe and bring Miles Morales into 616. That was the point.
Yeah.
Nothing else came of that.
Well, like, you're right, but also it seemed like Marvel backed out last second, because it seemed like they said it themselves, this is a reboot, and then nothing rebooted. So it seemed like they were just like, oh, I don't know, like, right? And then they just kind of like backed off on it.
I personally think that was a miss. What I think they mean reboot is that everything started at a number one. I'm pretty sure no series continued with the same numbering. It was all number one.
It was all number one, yes.
But because everyone thought that reboot was what DC did with the New 52.
Right.
They did a reboot. And I think the New 52 would have worked as an Elseworld, as opposed to, like, let's say we're both long-time collectors. And if I had been, like, let's say, like I said with my Spider-Man run, if I'd been collecting Spider-Man from issue 118 to whatever, and then you decide, oh, I'm going to scrap all of that because I want new readers, I would be like, buddy. But
I know. Me too. I don't think there's any good way to do it. I don't think there's a formula that works to make it happen.
By putting a big name and big name creators on your alternate universe is the way to go. Jonathan Hickman sells books. Mariko Chukwuechukwu, he sells books. Peach Momoko, like, they're all they're. And actually, then those Spider Boy, you know, inspired that variant series of like the new champions. And one of them is on the roster of the Ultimate X-Men.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and also beyond that, too, they have creative freedom as well. Like, that's one of the biggest things they have going over to the Ultimate Universe.
To a degree, I'd say.
I would agree to a degree. I would agree with that. It just seems like, I mean, when Hickman comes in, like, you know, he's going to swing his creative pencil around and be like, this is what I'm doing. So, and I think Marvel will be like, okay, if you want to go right, we'll let you go right. And I think like 9 out of 10 times they'll let him do whatever the hell he wants.
Because a buddy of mine was working on a Marvel title at the time of the X-Men line before Krakoa. And apparently everybody was told, so Jonathan Hickman has this idea, all of your things are ending and we're going with this. So,
wow. Yeah,
but again, money, like, especially in the industry, But yeah, yep. I think establishing another, and we don't, you don't need crossovers.
No.
Leave it on its own. Let it, yes. Because, you know, I think that was inevitably the downfall of the Ultimate Universe. Where like it worked on its own. Because yes, there were superheroes, but it kind of went the way the Dark Knight. Amazing. All this could happen. The Dark Knight Rises for me wasn't as good because it was too comic booky for the world of the Dark Knight. It went like an isolated nuclear reactor in Gotham.
Oh,
you know, like, whereas I think the Ultimate Universe was that politics was involved, you know, like governments, shady governments creating mutants, you know, like super yes. soldier thing. And then it went 2616.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
No, I agree. And I think people just had too much of a long leash. Like they just stuff stopped making sense in the end. And it was just bad. And then it just kind of, because remember there was a time where they were like, we're going to make the Ultimate Universe, like the main, they were contemplating that, like the main yeah. universe.
And then they did the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver angle. And you're like,
and then they did that. And then they they did a lot
Game
of stuff.
Game of Thrones
stuff,
pulled it off. If they brought it up around the time of Game of Thrones, it would have been huge.
Would have been a trendy topic at least.
Yeah. Incest sells, I guess.
I guess it does. I mean, look, I'm going to read most of the Ultimate stuff. I'll let you know how it goes. But as far as like excitement level thing, the comic I'm most excited about right now going forward, we talked about it a little bit last week, is Bloodhunt. That is like maybe my most anticipated comic with Ghost Rider in 2024. Because, yeah. You agree with that? I mean, I think
I'm excited. Definitely Ghost Rider. I can't wait for Hulk every week. Bloodhunt, the more I've been thinking about it with the red band gimmick, I actually think I might pull the regular one because...
Really?
Well, it's because I texted you about this during the week. If you read the latest issue of Carnage, the gore and violence and imagery in that, like he goes full Hannibal Lecter one scene and like, what could you possibly be putting in this that would like warrant red band poly? Like it is a sale, it's a gimmick.
Yeah, it is.
Which is fine. But again, there's that side of it, like we said last time, an extra 8 pages.
Yep.
Are you given an extra 8 pages of gore? Am I gonna miss out on something?
What I'm scared of. So I'm scared I'm going to like miss out on. I don't think it's going to be just like Blade hacking people. Maybe it will. Who the hell knows? But look, we saw a teaser for the Red Band comic interior pages that came out this week. Dude, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, but it wasn't that gory.
Well, I don't think it was the Red Band because I don't think they can preview the Red Band stuff because it's like, because you know, a Red Band trailer is a Red Band trailer. But they have said that someone's going to bite it, which I do love a good pun. I will put money on it that it's Tigra. Tigra's going to go.
Are you reading Jed McKay's Moon Knight? You're not, right?
I've dipped in and dipped out, but...
All right, so that's a no. She's great in that series.
She is.
There was one issue dedicated to her. I'm going to have to tell you, and then I want you to buy it and read it. And you're going to be okay. Like, damn, that was good.
I'm not saying that I want Tigra to go, but I'm saying it from like, let's look at the roles. Hunter's Moon is not going to go. He's too new of a character.
He's too new and he's cool. He's very well received.
He's very cool. Now, Tigra, and you see, it's also like the writings on the wall. Why is a character who was a West Coast Avenger, who was, you know, had a minor role in Secret Invasion, who had a kid with the Skrull? Oh, let's bring her in the spotlight. Like you said, oh, that issue with Tiger was great. Oh, that was such a cool issue. Oh my God, they killed Tiger. Why would they kill Tiger?
You really feel like she's going to die. Honestly, she's a character I care about, but not enough to be like, damn, like she's dead. Like crap.
But this is the thing. When you're in the game, as long as we've been reading them, death means nothing anymore.
No, all it means is when I see someone die, it means, oh, crap, I won't see them for minimum 3 years.
Unless
or maximum 3 years. Sorry. Yeah. Unless it's Miss Marvel. Jeez, that was...
But even when they killed Wolverine and Death of Wolverine, he was gone for way longer than anybody thought.
10 years. He was gone Wolverine? Wolverine, when he died in Charles Soule's, it was what? Oh, no, sorry. It was a decade without a Wolverine title. My bad. That's what it was.
Oh, I was like, oh, my
Sorry. I'm gonna have to Google how long it was how long he died for. Dude,
I would say 5 years.
I forget.
Maybe 5 years. Because then they brought him back around Marvel Legacy, but then it turned out that wasn't Logan. It was the Phoenix empowered Logan from the future who went into the present. Right. That,
yes.
Oh, that reveal at the end of Infinity Watch, you sons of guns. But I think it was a smart move with the character like Wolverine, because when you have that level of popularity, what more is there to do with him? And I'm really glad that in the X-Men, he calls Laura Wolverine.
Yeah, me too. People loved that. I mean, dude,
she earned it.
Like, I'm going to change topic a little bit here. You're reading Wolverine right now, right? Which is basically a Red Band book. You're reading that, right?
Exactly. Like, how is that not Red Band?
Dude, I think it is. I think it's just the big thing here.
Oh, no,
it
does say parental advisory.
It says that. Dude, that's the same Max warning, like Marvel Max books.
Well, it was on, because that was on the Marvel Zombies one.
True. Yeah, zombies as well. So I think Bloodhunt is a big deal because it's a Marvel event, a Marvel 616 like headlining event. We know events sell really well. Like Bloodhunt will probably be one of the top 10 best-selling comics for 2024.
But will it be a top 10 one because of the polyband bag or because of excitement with the actual story?
Because it's an event. Events sell, dude. That's why they make them. Like the number ones for events sell. I think that's why this is a big deal. Is because it's an event. It's not like a, you know, I don't know. That's what I think. I don't know.
Right, okay, but I mean, let's say, did the Eternals headlined event Judgment Day? Did that sell? Did that go to number one?
Eternals? No.
No, Judgment Day. No, it didn't. It is the creative team. Characters involved. I don't mind the Eternals, but the Eternals are one of loads of clandestine families. The Young Gods, the Clandestine, the Inhumans, the Externals, the Eternals, the who else is there? There's the guy Black Wolf. I don't know if you know him. He's a super obscure character from the 90s. And so I got all that 10 issue run, like, this is mental that nobody else knows. So I think it's down to the strength of, like, and Jed McKay is killing us. The reason I wasn't pulling Moon Knight is just I'm not a big Moon Knight guy, and I don't know what it is, I know you feel like this.
Yeah,
but I just feel like he was the character for so long that, like, hey, I've got an idea for a character. Do you want to do that with Moon Knight?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I know.
And
I know.
Nothing has appealed to me enough with it. Now, I mean, Jed McKay. Yeah, it's just, and again, the price of comics, I'm not going to pull these comics unless I truly love the character.
I agree. I agree with you on that. The new Moon Knight relaunch it's so good. I had my problems with the new Moon Knight, but I won't get into that. We'll save that for another time. Talking about the Eternals, something I want to shift into here is that it seems like pre-production is actually going to start for Eternals 2. Did you see Eternals 1, dude?
I did see Eternals 1. Now, I didn't not like it. I was very happy I didn't pay to see it in the movies, in the movie theater. Fair. But I am also at the point of you are now truly starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel. As much as I love Marvel characters, and I do, not all of them can warrant a 2 hour or 2.5 hour movie. Something like the Eternals with their backstory and their ties to the Celestials who created mutants and everything in the Marvel universe. You need to build that as almost like a Thanos-esque thing behind the scenes, and then but instead of just like boom, here you go. And it's at a point now we're so far into the MCU that it's just you need something that people are going to flock to see, like Deadpool and Wolverine. Who's going to flock? And this is not knocking the quality of the movie. I'm simply talking about the characters. What makes a character's comic book run go on for dozens and dozens and dozens of issues? The villains. It's not the hero. It is the villains. why has Moon Knight, why has Punisher, and to a degree Venom, had so many relaunches and volumes? Because they don't have the rogues gallery. Who are the Eternals villains? The Deviants, other Eternals, Marvel guest stars. Who are Venom's villains? Which, yes, the rogues gallery has been building. Deadpool gets by on his popularity, but he doesn't have an extensive rogues gallery.
Mm-hmm.
No, Hawkeye. He doesn't. Who's Hawkeye's bad guys? Who's Iron Fist's bad guys? Who's Iron Man's bad guys?
Yeah. Yeah, they've never been able to really sell a series. It's true. I honestly liked Eternals 1, the movie, and I really liked, and I know you did too, I was really pushing you to try, I know you liked it, the Eternals series by Kieran Gillen.
I finally got all that, actually. I finally got it all. And that was fantastic. Good. But that was like, it was a commitment. That was like, you needed to get that from issue one. Yeah, oh, yeah, it was not. And I respect Gillen for doing it that way, because let's say the Shang-Chi relaunch series, that 5-issue mini before it went into the legacy numbering, it took a man who was raised as a weapon. You didn't have a childhood, you had training, you were a weapon.
Yes. Yeah.
And now I live above a bakery. I'm helping this lady. I'm flirting with her granddaughter. Yeah, I'm Shang-Chi. I'm master of kung fu. Like,
ugh, it's so bad. I can't read this series.
Why did you do that? But I did get on the legacy one, and they were trying to build his rogues gallery, which, yes, again, I respect. And I liked some of those villains. But the point is, you took Shang-Chi, like a dangerous, dangerous character.
Oh, yeah.
And Disney'd him.
Yeah, I mean, even look at, I agree. They but like, that's how it is now. That really but is that, how it but is
that's
now.
That's what I'm saying, respecting Gillen's move with the Eternals, is that he He went deep diving into it. But yeah, also, did. Is that pushing, which movie did they really believe in?
Yeah.
Did they believe in Eternals? Or, but I mean, that's me, you know, sometimes.
They had Eternals, Eternals had, I mean, so much going for it. They had an unbelievable cast. They had Chloe Zhao, who was an Oscar-winning director, coming fresh off of an Oscar win. They had her as a director. That was unbelievable. And they just, yeah, and then it just, I don't know. I actually really liked it. I actually, because it was so different, and it wasn't like a comedy, like, haha. Like, there was some points of it that I thought were bad, but overall, I would give it like a decent score. It seems like Angelina Jolie, she's going to be in it more. These are just some rumors going around. I don't know. As far as all I can say, and it's going to be more cosmic, just make it.
What does that mean, more cosmic? Like, they've been hiding away on Earth. So why are you making it more cosmic when they're hiding away on Earth?
How the last one left off. With the Celestial being like, you're coming with me. We'll see. I think we're spending too much time talking about this, to be honest.
Yeah,
It's just not worth it. It's just not. No. I just need to care more. Let's talk to something. Let's talk about a hot topic. This is one of the main points I wanted to talk about this episode. Matthew Vaughn, who's pushing for Deadpool 3, came out and said this past week, I think this movie will save the MCU. So.
All right. Okay.
Go ahead. No. Hit me.
This is like every band who's taken a while to bring out a new album. It's the best thing we've ever written. It's the dark. Like, let's say I'm a huge Slipknot fan. Okay. Their darkest album to me was Iowa, right? Their second album, it was too much, tumultuous time in the band's history. And now every album since Volume 3, this one's going to be our next Iowa. Oh, it's so dark. No, it's not. Oh, this next one's going to be, we just where we went to this. And I get it's the publicity train. But Deadpool seems to be going the multiversal time travel route.
Yeah.
Again.
So, yes.
It'll be fun. And like, this is the thing. Deadpool and Wolverine is one I want to see because of the history of the characters. But I think it's also a case of every film type genre has its heyday. Right, you had the slashers, the westerns, the kung fu movies, the self-referencing horrors, the Saw type of movies, you know, the Matrix-esque movies, you know, all of those, like the sci-fis, and they die away for a while. Marvel will not let that go. The thing that now what I think they're doing is like, What do people want to see? What do people want to see? Oh my God, they want to see Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together, and they wanted to see the X-Men. And yes, but you also have streaming. And when it, in a day and age when it's maybe like $100 for a family of four or five to go to the movie theater.
It really is.
If I just wait a few months, I can watch it from the comfort of my own home and not to have to deal with jabronis who don't know how to act in a movie theater.
Yeah, but I also think that there's, I mean, first of all, this movie's rated R, so you're not bringing any, you're really not going to be a ton of kids. But also, it
don't,
made more
don't
sense
tell me
that.
What I can't bring my kid to see. Don't you micro-parent me. How dare you?
Hey, my parents were doing it for me, so trust me. Yeah. Look, as far as what I'm excited for, you know this. Everyone knows this. I'm very excited. It made sense. We got the rights back. Throw it in there. Yep. I think that this movie couldn't come at a better time. The MCU is in the trash right now. It has a bad. There's lackluster credibility behind it. Not that much hype in projects. This could be the one to save it. I agree with you. They always, like when James Gunn, The Flash was coming out, this is the best superhero movie I've ever seen. I went and saw it and it was bad. It wasn't good.
I will not
and
go
I was
to
like,
see The Flash. I was not, I'm not going to, unless I literally
know
have
not.
Nothing else to watch, I'm not going to watch The Flash.
I mean, so when he says it will save the MCU, I actually believe him. And I think it has the power to. I think it has the power to save it. I really do. And they're probably going to make him a forerunner going forward. They're probably going to throw Deadpool the torch, like just like Tony Stark and all these other characters. I think he's going to be a showrunner.
But okay. But can Deadpool be a showrunner?
Yeah, he can. Dude, look at his popularity.
Yeah, but Deadpool, like, look at Logan Paul's popularity. You want him to be a showrunner or anything? I mean, come on. Just because somebody's popular doesn't mean they can be a showrunner or something.
He's
Deadpool,
there's so much bad press with him.
Works with Deadpool is less is more. Best written Deadpool, Barry Dugan in his own title, was Rick Remender's X-Force Deadpool.
Yeah.
Less is more.
Oh, yeah. So
less is right. More.
I
Deadpool
agree, but
being everywhere will lessen the impact of Deadpool.
He's already been everywhere, man.
Exactly. He is the only character to be a secret defender, so we'll call him a defender, a Thunderbolt, a member of the Frightful Four, an Avenger, and on an X-Men team.
Yeah, you're probably missing one or two
no other character that has been in that many
teams. He's like Harley Quinn over at DC. It's like you couldn't escape her the past friggin' 5 years. You just couldn't. There was no escaping it.
It's not that I don't want this to be successful. I think it should be successful, but
It should.
But I think
has everything going for it. It'd be pretty sad if it wasn't.
But Deadpool as a forerunner of like the next phase of Marvel movies, I don't think it can work because he won't get to be Deadpool. You know, I mean, just in my opinion with it, because actually I saw a post, a poll on Instagram, who is like your favorite depiction of a Marvel hero, and it was like Robert Downey Jr. or blah, 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 blah.
I saw that too.
I picked Chris Evans as Steve Rogers.
Oh, I know where you saw that. It was Loungebox Comics.
Loungebox,
put that on his story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really nice
I
guy,
saw that
actually.
Too. Yeah, really nice guy. Knows his shit.
So, yeah. I picked Steve Rogers, and I couldn't believe how high Robert Downey Jr. was as Iron Man, because Robert Downey Jr. wasn't Tony Stark. Tony Stark became Robert Downey Jr. after that movie.
You're right.
Look at the way he was written. Tony was not known for his snarkiness and ha 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 ha. Tony was just kind of Tony. And now he's a smart ass where it's like he's quips with everybody. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad move, but it's like the opposite thing to Deadpool becoming Ryan Reynolds in comic books.
Yes.
Actually, no, sorry. It's the exact same thing, not the opposite thing. So, yeah, I don't know. Let's hope it's a fantastic movie that's worth a rewatch, you know, but make it stand on the testament of its own story. Don't use it as a crutch to save the MCU.
Yes. Yes, you know, I agree with that. And let's end it here. I want to end it there. I don't think that's what it is, though. I think he's just saying we created something really good in a bad time period that could really help going forward. I think that's what I'm holding on to hope that that's what they're saying, because I miss being excited for MCU stuff. Like, there would be times where I'd be like, damn, like, I can't wait 2 years. Like, this movie's going to be able to... Now it's like, yeah, it'll come when it comes.
I remember those days. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's just like,
I don't even think I'd be excited for a Darkhawk movie now.
Damn.
Yeah. Wow. And I love me some DH.
You do. Speaking
of, what happened to the new Darkhawk?
What do you mean, man? What do you mean?
Like, with the 5-issue mini, he was pushed. He teamed up with Miles. And then he got arrested during Devil's Reign. And got set free.
I don't remember him in Devil's Reign.
That's because he was in one panel and he got fucking arrested. He got freaking arrested.
Really? Okay. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look now. He's a character that just can't, like...
You bringing him back to Earth, like, does him a disservice. He belongs in the cosmic place.
Remember like that Jerry Dugan's, like, that whole, like, the
fraternity of raptors thing?
Yeah, that was badass. That worked,
and that was what I think Abnett and Lanning did, and that, like, they're actually, they're a clandestine, like,
that was good.
They influence actions along the cosmos for their own...
Yes,
you know, like they so saved the Nihilus. They saved the Nihilus. Remember one of Nihilus's clones, and they're like, "Remember this? You know, when we call on you, we'll need you." Didn't happen. You know, like this is
It's cool stuff.
Yeah, but sorry,
I got one more for you before we head out. Night Thrasher. You happy for the series coming out? That's gonna like revamp him. I think it looks kind of cool. I'm definitely gonna read it.
I mean, it looks cool. Am I happy for it? I don't know. Is it a case of Night Thrasher? Cool. I mean, I was excited about that New Warriors mini that was going to be part of Outlawed, but then never came out because it was during COVID.
Yeah,
but I just think Night Thrasher, I think, is really cool because, one, he's Marvel's Batman. I don't care what anyone says. Wow. I will argue that till the day I die. He is. And you know I'm right. He is.
Yeah.
Billionaire, doesn't trust anybody, trained to be a living weapon, keeps tabs on everyone. Parents are dead, is fueled by vengeance,
and like mostly works at night. Let's not forget that.
Exactly.
Every cover that's come out for this new series is just him at night, like beating on like gangs.
And I mean, his name really likes. Hey, Dwayne, can you help us? No, man, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm Night Thrasher, not Evening Thrasher.
What's his name? Dwayne Johnson. What's his name again?
Taylor. It's The Rock. He's Dwayne Taylor.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, Dwayne Taylor. All right, I was just wondering. I saw that. The cover looked awesome. I mean,
it does, but again, like with the cost of comic books, I'm going to wait until it's in the dollar bin. And just the new one, he's kind of guilty by association. I want to like Speedball. I do. But whenever I think of Night Thrasher, yes, and he became Penance, which was awesome.
That was also awesome.
You're just a dude who won't shut up and can bounce around. You're really irritating me. Before, like, if I was a supervillain, I would go out of my way to find him and hammer him because it just you sound irritating to me. But then I checked out his series. He has some cool oddball one appearance villains that Jed McKay actually used. That Harlequin Hitman is actually debuted in a Speedball comic.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, that was like his third appearance.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
So, like,
that's interesting.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm just wondering, because that's like an era I know you're passionate about. So when I saw Night Thrasher, I was like, I wonder.
Yeah, I mean, it's what are they going to do with him? Like, I think, it's this thing of building it up slowly. Look at what worked with Deadpool. Okay, he appeared as a villain, had another appearance in X-Force, had two four-issue minis, appeared in Nomad, Avengers, Secret Defenders. Didn't get his own ongoing till like nearly 8 years after he debuted. So if you're pushing someone like Night Thrasher, have the four-issue mini, have a guest appearance here and there. Maybe like in Spider-Man, maybe in Miles Morales, you know, Misty Knight, you know, because, hey, Dwayne, I see you're back on the scene. I got this kid who could do with some training or advice or whatever, you know, kind of build up the profile of him instead of a four-issue mini and dropping him.
Yes. And that's what happens all too often.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Cool thoughts. On that note, I think we're going to wrap up. Any lingering thoughts for you before we head out, Rob?
Lingering thoughts. Where is Amadeus Cho? Where's Braun? Dude,
that is a lingering thought.
Where's Braun? Like, where are the champions?
I'm going to have to Marvel Wiki him after this, actually. Where is Amadeus Cho? Because they pushed him in back in like, what, 2016, 2017?
He was Hulk. Then they...
And then just nothing, dude.
He was the champions. He was on the Agents of Atlas. And yeah, he was kind of both those teams. I like the way they kind of made him a bit of a, like, a meathead dick, where he's like, well, I'm the strongest, so I'm in charge. It's like, well, actually, Kamala's in charge. So, like, stop. I mean, but this is the thing too. You gotta, if you wanna push someone, you gotta think after the rights. Like, okay, once they've peaked, where are they gonna go?
Right.
And then back up.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely. That's cool. I'm gonna have to, that's some good homework.
And I have one more question. I have a question for you.
Hit me.
What character would you like to see get a 4-issue mini to try and be reintroduced?
4 issues? You know who it would have been? It would have been the Hood. But he's getting his due now, so I'm really happy about that. I've always been a huge, huge Parker Robbins fan. Look, if I was going to give it to... Look, dude, one of these three characters, can I give you three answers to this?
Absolutely.
Seriously. Because they're all the same. The Silver Surfer, overdue. Completely overdue.
He got Ghost Light, but okay, Silver Surfer. Okay.
Yeah, but who cares? That was shitty. Just put, like... Adam Warlock.
Ugh.
I haven't seen him.
Jesus.
I'm a huge Adam Warlock fan. And then Namor, actually.
Oh my God.
The one you're going to like most of all.
Three huge names. I'm talking like, you know, your Code Blues, your AmeriCops, your Monster, your Fear Master, your Payback, you know, like, come on. I know
if I was
you know
to do
deep
one,
dives.
I want to say Howard the Duck, but you know who I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you someone who's in the middle of like relevant and obscure. Captain Britain. Captain Britain, I want to see it as like he's throw in the multiverse if you want, but like his Knights of Pendragon comic that came out in like, what was that, the 90s or the 80s? Really obscure here, I'm going.
Legally,
it was like very.
You weren't allowed to read that in Ireland.
Really?
No. No.
Why?
No, it's a joke. Of course we weren't.
Oh, well. So, like, I was about to say, I was like, what are you talking about? There's, honestly, it would probably be Captain Britain if I had to give you one.
Yeah,
and I think that's a pretty respectable answer. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he's cool.
He definitely, I mean, if the multiverse, the Captain Britain core, like, it's a no-brainer. And you Spider UK.
You know? Spider UK. Yep.
And
there it is.
New Spider UK.
There it is. Next time we kick off, I'm going to ask you for yours. So be ready.
Okie dokie.
Everyone, thank you for listening. Been a great time with you, Rob, as usual. Please subscribe to Geekable Podcast if you haven't already, so you can catch us whenever we release new weekly episodes. Follow us on TikTok or Instagram at Geekable_podcast, or follow Rambling Rob, please, where he is updating you constantly on his Instagram, Rambling Rob, about comic news, whatever it is that's on his mind, that's jumbled together in a ramble, he's there. And if you really want to see some of his best work, definitely go to his YouTube. That's been booming lately. Yeah,
YouTube is absolutely more consistent than Instagram. Saying that I'm constantly posting Instagram was a blatant lie to our listeners. It's occasionally posting on Instagram.
Occasionally.
And when you listen to the podcast, make sure to drop us a review, because it will help us get even more noticed.
Yeah, it actually does. Yeah,
and thanks for your time, peeps.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. See you next week.